Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, today to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, as you can see on the screen, a strange title, In One Ear and Out the Feet. And hopefully I can explain that for you in just a few moments. A woman was enthusiastically relating to some of her friends about the value of a first aid class that she had just completed. And she was really trying to make her point of how effective this class is. And she said, "Why, just yesterday, I was driving down 2nd Street when I heard an awful crash behind me. I jammed on my brakes and ran back to find a car wrapped around a telephone pole. When I got to the injured driver, I saw a horrible sight. My knees went limp, and I didn't know what to do. But all at once, I remembered something from my first aid training. And immediately, I bent down and put my head between my knees, and it worked. I didn't even faint." This woman had put into practice what she had learned. Or had she? Hopefully she's not the first one on the scene if I'm ever in that situation. Most of us have heard about the tragedy of the sinking of the Titanic. On her maiden voyage in 1912, the radio operator received a message from another ship indicating that there were icebergs in the immediate area. He wrote the message on a slip of paper and put it under a paperweight and continued about his duties. The message never reached the captain. The result? More than 1,500 lives were lost. Information without action can lead to destruction. Did you get that? Information without action can lead to destruction. And the same thing is true in the Christian realm. When it comes to our Christian walk, information without action can be tragic. And we're going to see that in our text today, James chapter 1. And I would like to begin reading with verse 19. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, we as believers, we as Christ followers, are not just supposed to listen to the word that is being taught or being preached. We are to listen intently, and then we are to do what it says. We are to put the truths of God's word into practice. God's word should never go in one ear and out the other. God's word should go in one ear and out the feet and the hands and the mouth. We are to practice what God's word says. In other words, we are to put shoe leather to our hearing of the word. Now, in order to do this, we must know what God's word says. We must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to know and understand what it is that God is teaching us in His word. So many Christians will take a little bit of God's truth and run with it, not really knowing God's word. We need to hear. We need to know God's word and then put it into practice. A man one time was struggling, and he wanted to just lay his heart out for the Lord. And so he came forward during the invitation and knelt at the altar to pray. One Christian friend knelt with him and encouraged him, "Hang on, brother, hang on." A few seconds later, another one of his friends kneeled next to him and bowed his head and prayed, "Turn loose, brother, turn loose." Now, that may sound good. That may sound like good things to say, but unless what we're saying is grounded in God's word and has some meaning, some truth for the other person, it really accomplishes nothing. We need to put God's word into practice. We must know God's word. We must know what it says, and then we must do God's word. And so James here gives us some perspective on what our attitude should be toward God's word. A lot of times we pick up on phrases, what I like to call Christianese. We Christians have kind of a code way of talking, and we pick up on these Christian phrases. And we may use those often, like "hang on, brother," or "turn loose, brother." But do we really know and understand what God is teaching us? We need to deal in a very honest way with God's word. And so James is giving us this perspective here. And verse 22, I believe, is the one I want to focus on today, where it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Many people have got just enough of God's word into their hearts and into their lives that they've deceived themselves into thinking that they are mature followers of Christ. It's often not the case. And so James lays down for us here three principles that we need to get a hold of and that we need to grasp if we are to truly handle God's word the way he wants us to handle it. First of all, we see there from James 1:22 that we need to be hearers of the word. If we are just going through the motions, that's not what God wants of our Christian life. If we are going to truly do God's word, as verse 22 tells us, we must first be hearers of the word. We must listen to God's word. Now, we're not just to listen to anything. We're not just supposed to listen to the pious talk that we sometimes hear out of the uninformed. We are to listen to the Word of God. We must listen to God as He speaks to us. We need to have an open ear and an open heart when God's Word is preached or taught or shared. We must be hearers of the Word. But not only do we need to be hearers of the word, but if we back up one verse to the one I just read and look at James 1:21, James says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So not only are we to be hearers of the word, we are to be receivers of the word. It's one thing to hear God's word. We can hear God's word, but it's another thing to receive God's word and to receive it with meekness. When we receive God's word, we hear what God has to say, and then we agree with God. "You know, Lord, you're right. You're really speaking to my heart here through this passage about something, and I intend to do something about it." We need to receive it. We need to welcome it into our lives. We are told by the Apostle Paul that we are to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. That word "dwell" there literally means to make a home, to be at home in us. Right now, my wife and I are living temporarily with her dad. Now, he is family, so it makes a little bit of difference, but we're still just visiting in his home. We're still visitors. We're temporary. We know that, Lord willing, we're not going to be there long. Well, this word dwell has the idea of settling down and making it your home. We are to let the Word of God settle down and make a home in us. We are to be receivers of the Word. James says we must learn to receive God's Word with humility, with a teachable spirit. Receive it graciously. We need to anxiously welcome truth, even if it convicts. I can remember back when I was very young in my Christian faith, and we would have preachers that would come and share God's Word, or even my own pastor would share God's Word. And oftentimes in sharing God's Word, he would really step on my toes, if you know what I mean. He would be sharing something from God's Word that really convicted me. And I welcomed that because I came to the place where I realized that every time I got my toes stepped on, every time I was convicted by God's Word, I grew a little bit in my Christian walk. I grew in my faith. And so we are to welcome God's Word as receivers of God's Word, because that's when we grow. Have you ever been reading God's Word, and as you're reading His Word, you discover a truth that you've not seen before, or you discover a truth that you've not seen in that way before, and that truth spoke to you about something that you were allowing in your life that God was not pleased with? I hope that's happened in your life. And if so, you know that conviction hurts, but we are to welcome it because we know that we grow from it. So not only are we to be hearers of the Word and receivers of the Word, but then James tells us in verse 22, we are to be doers of the Word. I love this verse. The very first time I ever really noticed verse 22 about being doers of the Word was on my 18th birthday. You say, well, how in the world do you remember that's the first time you ever read that verse? On my 18th birthday, Becky gave me a Bible. And in the very front, inside the front cover of the Bible, she wrote this passage. She hand-inscribed this passage into the front cover. And I read that passage, and it really struck me. Had never seen it before, or had never noticed it before. And it just jumped right off the page at me. It's been one of my favorites ever since. We are to do God's Word. We are to put God's Word into action. We are to practice God's Word in our daily lives. And in order to do that, in order to put God's Word into practice in our daily lives, we must be in God's Word, reading God's Word, hearing God's Word taught, receiving God's Word, and then doing God's Word. God is not nearly as concerned with how much of His Word we know as He is with how much of His Word we do. We can know a lot of God's Word, but if we don't put it into practice, if we don't do it, it accomplishes nothing in our lives. We must do, we must apply God's Word in our lives. When was the last time that you read God's Word or you heard God's Word preached or taught that you acted on what you heard or read? Now, I need to take a moment here and commend you folks. I've been in many churches, and sometimes after a preacher preaches a message, people will come up and say, great message, Pastor. Good message, Pastor. Good job. And, of course, we as pastors always like to hear that. But I have had people coming up to me in this church, and I'll just kind of single some folks out, not by name, but several young people, several of our youth group, and they've come up to me, and they've shown me their notes that they took on the message, and they say, Pastor Tim, right here you said such and such, and they'll read off the point that I made from God's word. And they said, God spoke to me, and this week I am going to do such and such about that. And I'm like, wow. Wow, that's what it means to be a doer of God's word. They didn't just hear it. They allowed God to speak to them. They received it. And then they had already decided what they were going to do about it. They were going to do God's word. That's what we need. That's what we need in our lives. We need to read God's word, and then we need to apply God's word to our lives. Reading without applying is like eating without swallowing. It accomplishes very little. Very little. The single most important characteristic of a Christian is not how much of God's word he knows, but how much he lives. Now, don't get me wrong. In order to live God's word, we need to know God's word. We need to be taking it in. We need to be learning God's word. But the key is not how much we know, but how much we live. So the question then today is, are we doers of God's word, or are we just hearers? And James encourages us there in verse 22, where he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because he says, if you're a hearer only and not a doer, you've deceived yourself. You have lied to yourself. So we are to be doers of God's word, but what in the world is doing God's word? What is it? What does it mean? Well, James explains that for us. And first of all, James gives us an illustration. He illustrates what it means to be a doer of God's word. If you would drop down to verse 23 with me. James says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So James gives an illustration. So allow me to offer an illustration. Let's say that you are changing the oil in your car. You spend all morning changing the oil in your car. Or let's say that you're out working in your garden and you're digging in that good, rich, black dirt. And you come in after you're done and you look in the mirror and you notice a smudge on your face. You had no idea that smudge was there. But as you looked in the mirror revealed that smudge so that you can wash it. That's what God's word is to do for us. It reveals sin in our lives. Now, James says if you come in from having worked on your car or worked in the garden and you look in the mirror and you see that smudge in your face and you go, oh, I've got a smudge on my face, and then you go about your day and do nothing about it, that's what it means to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. If you look in the mirror and you say, wow, my face is dirty, and you don't do anything about it, you don't get a washcloth and wash it. That's like being a hearer and not a doer. But when we look in the mirror and we see that we've got dirt on our face and we say, oh man, I better not go out looking like this. And you get a washcloth and get it wet and put soap on it and you wash your face and you walk out of there clean. James says, that's what it's like to be a doer of the word. That's what the word does for us. It reveals sin. We are to look intently into God's word. We are to study God's word. This week I happened to notice a poster. This poster had the heading on it, Where's Waldo? And have you ever seen one of those Where's Waldo posters? They might be kind of passe now. I don't know if they're still out and about or not, but I happened to see one. And I thought, well, I'm going to find Waldo. That shouldn't be too hard. And so I'm looking at this picture. I'm looking down in the right-hand quadrant, and well, I don't see any Waldo there. And over in the left-hand up and over, and I didn't find Waldo. I thought, well, maybe I didn't look hard enough in that first quadrant. So I'm down there looking again really closely, and, well, that looks like Waldo. No, he doesn't have the stripes, and you know, so on. I just really studied that poster until I found Waldo. Well, that's what we're to do with God's Word. We are to look intently into God's Word. We are to study it. We are to search it until we find some truth that God gives us for our lives. I had an instructor that said, when you're doing your devotions, don't get up and leave until God has given you a truth that you can take with you for the day. Sometimes that happens in 5 minutes, and sometimes you can be there for an hour and you say, wow, I haven't found anything yet. But it's kind of like mining for gold or panning for gold. You know, those people that pan for gold, they sift through a lot that's not gold just to find that one nugget of gold. And we ought to be looking for nuggets of gold in God's Word. I'm not saying that there's a lot of God's Word that's not important. I don't mean that. But I mean, we need to find that one nugget that God has for me today, that I need for today, that He wants to show me today. And we need to grab hold of that nugget of truth, that nugget of gold, and make it our own. So, James says here that being a doer of the Word is to hear it or read it, to listen to it, and then apply it, have it affect our lives. And then James offers a test. He says, here's how you can test whether or not you are a doer of the Word. How can we know for sure? Well, we put ourselves to this test. Look at verse 26, if you would. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now he gives us a couple of examples here of putting ourselves to the test. He says, if you can't control your tongue, you're deceiving yourself. Your religion is vain. It's not accomplishing anything in your life. And then he says, if you have a religion that's not vain, here's what you do. You visit the fatherless and widows, the orphans and widows, in their affliction. And you keep yourself unspotted from the things of the world. You don't let the world force you into its mold. Well, putting this in a nutshell, we can know that we are doers of God's Word. We can know that we've really applied God's Word in our lives by taking one simple test, and that is, has God's Word changed me? Has it changed me? Have I been changed in my thinking? Have I been changed in my attitude? Have I been changed in my talk? Have I been changed in the kind of people that I hang around with? Have I been changed in the places I go and the things that I do? Has God's Word changed me? When God's Word changes us, we stop doing that which is displeasing to God. We start doing that which pleases God, which is called obedience. We start caring about the things that God cares about. We have our hearts broken for the things that break God's heart. When we're in God's Word and we're doers of God's Word does a whole lot more than just swell our head with knowledge. It changes how we live. It causes us to desire to be used by God as He builds His kingdom. It causes us to desire to reach out to lost souls and see them come to faith in Christ. Folks, we have everything we need right here for living the Christian life. God has given it to us. It's not that we are without instruction. If we fail to obey, if we displease God in something that we do, it's because we've not let God's word change us. According to a United Press International news report several years ago, there were a number of pamphlets entitled "The Control of Termites" stored in the mailroom of a Western university. Ironically, termites made their way into the boxes and destroyed the pamphlets entitled "The Control of Termites." Those hungry pests destroyed the very information that could have prevented this from happening. And the reason that it happened was that all of the facts that were contained in those pamphlets were left unread. And so the ideas were not put into practice. All the facts contained in the leaflets did not do one bit of good because the knowledge was not applied. And so it is with God's word. I challenge you this week. I challenge you to search the scriptures. I challenge you between now and next Sunday to find one key truth in God's word that you can hang on to and say, I can live my life by this key truth. This is a key truth that I can really hang on to, and it will navigate and guide my life. I challenge you to do that. In writing about this book, an unknown writer said, "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity." That is God's word. Are we doers of God's word? My prayer is that we are.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.